Hello, you are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. You know, last Friday actually marked the 200th anniversary of Britain trading opium in China, which was, of course, the beginning of the Opium Wars. So I thought I might come on and do a little five-part series this week about the Opium Wars. Today I'll be covering the backstory and groundwork for the Opium Wars. So in 1792, Great Britain had just come out of an expensive war that had cost them control over many of their very lucrative colonies, including North America, and had left their treasury mostly empty. Other wars had also cost them access to silver mines in South America, which had been helping fund so much of their trade with the Qing Dynasty of China. European traders all wanted greater access to China, but the emperor was weary of letting outsiders too far into his country and kept them all pinned up in the port of Canton, which was strictly regulated by Hong Business Group. Now, China was very popular with England because of tea. There was an increasing demand for that luxury item. Tea was from China, and of course, England just couldn't get enough of the stuff. But China imposed very heavy trade restrictions on the British, a thing their traders didn't take especially kind to. The thing to keep in mind about someone who would make their living as a trader that would sail thousands of miles across the ocean to trade in goods and then bring it back is that those people that would spend their livelihood doing that probably believe in the inherent value of free trade. Now, because of those strictly regulated Chinese markets, a flourishing black market trade grew, but Britain wanted more. One trader acting on his own initiative grew bold enough to approach Beijing and attempt to get a hearing over his trade grievances. But this is sort of where there is a splinter in culture. Such an act was considered unbelievably presumptuous by the Chinese people. The Chinese considered this a huge breach of protocol and an offense to the emperor. Britain had to do something, however. They imported over 10 million pounds of tea each year, equal to 10% of the government's annual spending, and the fact that China did not have anywhere near as great an interest in British products meant that they were running an enormous trade deficit that they could no longer sustain. But because of the nature of Chinese culture and politics, it was very difficult for British traders to get in front of anyone that would have the power to loosen those trade restrictions. Eventually, the Crown appointed an official envoy, Earl George Macartney, with orders to end the Canton system, establish an embassy, and acquire rights to an island that would be under British control in the same way that the Portuguese controlled Macau. The mission failed spectacularly. Although Macartney got permission to sail north and meet the Qinlong Emperor in his summer palace at Jihol, he refused to perform the traditional kowtow, where one bows with their face touching the ground to the Chinese emperor. Now, Macartney did argue with the Chinese officials just a little bit. He said that he was sovereign to a different king, and he would even be willing to kowtow if one of their officials of equal rank to him would bow to a picture of the queen. But, of course, they did not agree to any of his compromises on the kowtow, which was required upon meeting the emperor. He presented gifts from the British court, but the Chinese interpreted these gifts as tribute, not trade enticements, and decided they had no need and no particular interest in what he had to offer. The cultural differences between Britain and China were just so great that Macartney just couldn't form a line of understanding and hash out a way to loosen those trade restrictions. So yes, ultimately, Macartney's entire envoy into the Chinese capital was completely useless. He did not end up affecting the trade situation at all, and he might have actually hurt the relationship between England and China. Since he failed to get them to agree to any of his three requests, Britain wanted to find a way to address the trade imbalance with China. Soon this would lead them to start bringing in opium. But we'll get into that next time. You are listening to the Mighty 690. This is part one of our five-part series on the Opium Wars. Remember, if you like these little history segments I do, you can find them online at kggfradio.com. Just click on the Community tab and go down to On Demand. And there on the On Demand page, you can find a complete listing of all of the history segments that I have done. We've covered everything from the Marquis de Lafayette all the way down to emojis. So there's sure to be something that interests you in that big pile. In the meantime, stay tuned for all the best in news, talk, and farm.